You're listening to You Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ute Talk. It is Monday, October 17th, and this is episode 13. My name is Andy, and I hope you all are doing well. Thank you for joining us. Feels great to be 6-1, and we're bowl eligible now. So we'll be looking forward to that. I am joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports Network, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick?
Two words, Andy. Bowl eligible.
Two words. Bowl eligible. Exactly. I like it. So thank you, everybody, for your continued support. This is your first time listening. Thank you for tuning in. Ute Talk podcast is part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks, and we produce this every week for your enjoyment, and you can also find us on Wednesday as well. Grant and Joseph do another episode Wednesday nights. So please add us to your favorite RSS feed, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google, all that stuff. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. So let's get into it. You said it, two words, bowl eligible. What are your thoughts? I mean, what are your thoughts? Bowl eligible.
Well, I think it's great. It's I think the third straight season the Utes have been bowl eligible since joining the Pac-12, I believe.
Yep, third straight year, fourth since joining in 2011.
So it's great. It's good to be bowl eligible this early in the season. That means you're having a pretty good season. So excited to see where the Utes are going to go bowling. I know there's been some projections that have come out that are pretty exciting. So.
Absolutely, yeah. So two different projections. Right now, you've got McMurphy on ESPN thinking the Alamo Bowl, Valero Alamo Bowl, and the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. That would be December 29th, and that would be West Virginia versus Utah. Schlaubach also has West Virginia in that one, but versus USC. So that's an interesting one. Schlaubach for us actually has us playing against Michigan on January 2nd. So one of the New Year's six games. And it would be the Rose Bowl versus Michigan. So what are your thoughts about those two projections? The Alamo Bowl or the Rose Bowl?
I like that Rose Bowl. I'd love to play Michigan again.
Third straight year of Michigan?
Third straight year. I think it'd be awesome to. They're pretty good this year, so.
Yeah, they are.
That would be another fun game to watch. I'd love a matchup in the Rose Bowl against Michigan or Ohio State. Those would probably be my top two right there.
Yep.
West Virginia doesn't really get me going, but.
No. I mean, West Virginia is 5-0 right now, so I mean they're not having a bad year. But like you said, we're not.
Yeah, it's not Harbaugh, it's not Urban Meyer. So I don't know, but I'll take either at that. I mean, both those bowls would be good. That means the Utes, you know, had another great season, and so. But that Rose Bowl matchup would be awesome.
Absolutely. Well, moving on here in our Ute news, we have a lot of it today. Under Armour signs a 10-year extension with the University of Utah, $65 million. And let me break that down here and how that works out. So $11.6 million in rights fees, $48 million in product allowance, $1.5 million in contribution to Utah's scholarship fund, $3.9 million through marketing, sponsorship, and licensing opportunities, and then an additional upwards of $2 million a year in performance bonuses. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, when I started working at the U in 2000, and let's see, that would have been 10, you know, Under Armour was a fairly new, you know, the company was fairly new to Utah, you know, and it was only football specific. And then a couple of years later, it moved to basketball and the other sports. And, you know, over time, it seems like the gear has gotten a little more fancier, and, you know, that flair, that wow factor, you know, especially last year and this year, it seems like, you know, like the throwbacks, you know, were really awesome. And, you know, this year with like the blackout game, you know, I think they've done a really good job, and the kind of rivalry, if I could say that, the Oregon Ducks and Nike, you know, for who's got the most flair. I mean, Nike's been Oregon's partner for quite a while, they've got the hand up on us right now. But, you know, Under Armour making a move here.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's great for the Utes. It gives them some more money there, quite a bit more. Hurts my pocketbook, but definitely great for the Utes. I think Under Armour, one thing I'd like to see is get rid of those mountain sleeves on the uniforms.
I agree.
But it's, you know, they're a good company. They come out with some cool stuff, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of cool combinations we have even this year and on down the road with all the different, you know, things that Under Armour can do for the Utes.
Absolutely. Yeah, Under Armour's other big group would be Maryland. That's where they're based. And then they just signed a deal with Cal. And so it'll be interesting now that they're kind of tapping into the West Coast market, you know, a predominantly Nike a group here over in the Pac-12. But the $65 million, so that's $6.5 million a year as well. And that's up from, I believe, $2.4 million.
Yeah.
So that's going to be huge for the program. It really is for all of Utah athletics. So moving on, Tyquez Hampton, a fairly well-known recruit, four-star wide receiver out of El Dorado High School in Texas, has flipped from Washington State University, the Air Raid, to the University of Utah. 6'2", 197 pounds. What are your thoughts on Tyquez, Patrick?
That's huge. I mean, that's a great pickup. I hope he sticks with his commitment. I don't get too excited over recruits until they sign the dotted line, but
sure.
But that's, you know, that's a, you know, to flip someone, especially a wide receiver from, you know, a Washington State offense who's pass heavy to, you know, the Utes offense, who's just figuring out the passing game this season. I mean, that's huge. That's a testament to Guy Holliday and how far the passing game has come from last season. Because, you know, if that kid would have came and watched the Utes last season, he definitely wouldn't have flipped, because
he would have
they didn't throw the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. He would have laughed his way back home. So, I mean, that's a, like Patrick said, if, you know, come February that he's still committed to us and when I mean that's a huge get. And a lot of these guys, they've been flipping to us or been more intrigued with Utah because of the atmosphere and, you know, the culture that's here. I know another Manny, is it Hanley or Hanley Manny, I can't remember, another recruit from, like, I believe Southeast, like Arkansas, Georgia, or something like that, loved the mountains and the atmosphere that the stadium created and the fans. So keep up the good work, be loud, be proud, you know, just encouraging to all of these athletes that are making their way here to Utah.
For sure. I think, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about Utah, but I think when recruits come here, they see the atmosphere. They, you know, see the team. The team's really a family up there. They see all that going on. They see the great fans that we do have. And then, you know, the game atmosphere has gotten so much better over the years. And I just think it's turning a lot of heads. And, absolutely, you know, if people come visit, they're going to like it here.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Well, moving on. In our news, Joe Williams, the return of Joe Williams.
MVP.
That's right. That, yeah. it's almost like a storybook ending right now. You know, I mean, he retires back on September 13th, comes back, sees that the team, you know, is obviously depleted at the running back position where he was slated to be a starter. And he comes back October 11th, practices two times, and then goes on a tear, you know, versus Oregon State. I mean, it's a good game to come back against, but I mean, he had, let's see, like 179 yards?
Yeah, yep.
179 yards and a touchdown. I mean, that's quite the comeback, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, and he got 34 carries, so the Utes definitely didn't take it easy on him. He'll probably need a couple weeks off after that game, but he came back when the Utes needed him, and he was definitely the key cog in that offense. I would hate to think, you know, if he didn't come back, what that game might have looked like, because he was the only person that could get really anything going for the Utes offensively.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll dive into that here momentarily. So other news, the injuries. Marcus Williams and Sunai Tatioli. They didn't show up on the depth chart. We saw that they went out with some injuries versus Oregon State. Tatioli, I believe, I'm trying to remember the play that he got hurt on, but Williams, I believe it was the helmet he took to the knee that kind of took him out. So for Marcus Williams, I'm guessing it's more of like a bone bruise or a sprain of some sort. I can't imagine him being gone, you know, more than a week. Maybe he comes back this week. Maybe Witt's thinking, hey, if I can make it past UCLA, give him an extra week to rest, we'll be good to go for Washington. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, to lose, you know, Marcus Williams, who's one of the best safeties in the conference.
No, in the nation.
In the nation as well. That's tough. I mean, you also lose your starting linebacker and probably your best linebacker in Tatioli. So two tough losses. The injuries just keep mounting up for the Utes. You know, Whittingham in his press conference said didn't look like they were season ending, so that's good news. He didn't rule out if either could play this week, but not seeing him on the depth chart maybe might indicate that they're going to be held out or they might not be able to make it. But I mean, injuries this season has been totally crazy and unfortunate, but hopefully the Utes can battle through this next week and some guys will step up.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so. I mean, we do get Lowe back, who replaced Dillman. Lowe was injured for 2 weeks. Falamaka, Nick Nowakowski, he came in and played all right. He got the job done. He did what he needed to do at center. It was a little rough to start, but you know, it was nice to see that. You know, we were able to plug and play some holes here and cover up some things and move on throughout the week. So, moving on, Utes move up to number 19. So we go from, 21 to 19. So we move up two spots. I feel like that's okay. I mean, Oregon State, it's Oregon State. You know, they have one Pac-12 win in the last, you know, year and a half now. You know, on the road, we should have won. We were definitely the better team, although at times it might not have looked like it. So I think 19 is good for us. The only other Pac-12 team currently ranked is Washington. They were on a bye, and then they're still ranked at number 5. So not a whole lot of movement, to be honest, this week. It seemed like everybody kind of stayed where they were, moved up or down a spot or two, but nothing too drastic.
Yeah, and if, you know, the Utes can get past UCLA this week and Washington, they play this week, right? So, you know.
UCLA plays Washington?
No, who does Washington play this week?
Oh, gotcha. Let me look real quick.
But, you know, if the Utes can get past UCLA this week, I would predict they're going to be at least top 15, maybe 15-ish. And then if, you know, Washington's top 5, that's, you know, that's going to be an awesome game to witness.
Sure.
As long as, you know, the Utes can get some guys back and stay healthy through this UCLA game as well.
So Washington plays home against Oregon State.
Okay, so they'll definitely win that one then.
Yeah. Well, moving on. Night of the Running Utes tomorrow, Tuesday, October 18th. They've asked that everybody try and be there by 6:45. There's going to be a dunk contest, the red and white scrimmage, and then three lucky students will have a chance for a half-court shot for $7,000 towards their tuition. So pretty cool to see that the Night of the Running Utes have definitely upped their game throughout the last couple of years, making it kind of a fun event to come check out the team and the new faces. So good luck to those three lucky students. Hopefully you all hit your shots. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That maybe they can even make that $7,000 a lot more next time with the Under Armour money they're getting.
Exactly. There you go. So, recap of Oregon State. I mean, the monsoon or typhoon or whatever you want to call it that kind of hit the Pacific Northwest this past weekend, definitely laid a number in the Corvallis area. Winds were anywhere from 10 to 20 with gusts up to, 45 or so. Rain was, about an inch and a half of rain. So, it was not an easy affair for sure. But the Utes got the job done, 19-14. It was 12-0 at halftime. Really, until that second half, even through the second half, Utah controlled pretty much the whole game. Down there towards the end, it got a little hairy. But what are your thoughts on the game? Starting with the first quarter, what did you like? What didn't you like?
The Utes actually came out and started off pretty good. They, Chase Hansen had a couple big sacks there. Mm-hmm. He also had an interception, so he had a great first quarter.
Yep.
He also led the Utes in tackles, I believe, that game with eight. So he had a great game. He came out to play. I mean, it was an ugly game offensively. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is attributed to the weather. I mean, it was a tough game to throw the ball. So the Utes struggled in that area. I think they maybe could have game planned a little bit differently and worked on maybe some chunk plays where they could get, some five yard and outs or just some chunk pass plays that could, move the ball a little bit and open up the run game a little bit more in regards to, keeping Joe fresh, because he was really the only guy outside of Butler Bird back there in the rushing game. But, the first half, the Utes looked like they definitely should have been up more than 12-0, but they couldn't. The red zone struggles continue. And that's unfortunate. But some of the things that I did like, obviously Joe Williams coming back, that's a great storyline. And he came back and he came back to play.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really liked Butler Bird back there at running back. I think that's definitely something they need to incorporate into the offense. That guy, he needs the ball in his hands. He's a playmaker. They need to find other ways to use him.
Absolutely.
Outside of just, throwing them swing passes all day.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that was kind of my next question. So outside of Joe Williams getting 34 carries and 179 yards and a touchdown, I mean, Butler Bird, was seemingly everywhere besides Joe. It was pretty much Joe and Butler Bird was the offense. I mean, I know Troy Williams ran in a touchdown in the fourth quarter there, but really, it was Butler Bird and Williams that kind of carried us throughout the game. So obviously you like having Butler Bird back there. He played running back in high school, so it's not a new position to him. He's not obviously as bulky as Williams is, so he can't take, quite the bruising that Williams can. But what are your thoughts? You like it, obviously. Give us a little more insight on Butler Bird.
I like it. I think, he's a little bit more dynamic than I would say McCormick, in the fact that, you know, he can, I think he's a better receiver than McCormick is. So,
yep, I would agree.
I think that, you know, they could definitely put him back there and, you know, even in the Wildcat or some, they could use him in so many more ways than they do.
That's true. I didn't even think about the Wildcat.
But yeah, I really liked him back there at the running back position. I think he did a good job. And I mean, granted, it was Oregon State, but still, you know, they don't have that bad of a defense.
Yeah.
But I do like him back there at running back. I like to see him. I like to see him all over the field. Yeah, I just like to see him with the ball in his hands because he, you know, he can make plays.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, he had, I mean, we had four total completions on passing. Singleton with 1 for 25, Butler Bird 2 for 12, and Simpkins 1 for 5. Rushing, Butler Bird had 10 carries for 54 yards. So not bad. You know, I would love to see him a little bit more involved. I, you know, Zach Moss coming back this weekend versus UCLA. You know, we might not have to use Williams for Butler Bird as much, you know, so maybe we'll be a little bit back more to the passing attack. And I know, you know, we touched on kind of how we've been bad in the red zone recently. I believe for Oregon State, at least in the first half, we had 3 red zone. One ended up with the fumble, one was a touchdown, and one was a field goal. Which, I mean, obviously you want that field goal to be a touchdown, and you don't want to fumble in the red zone. But, you know, I mean, our red zone, it hasn't been terrible, in my opinion, and you can disagree with me all you want. I feel like it's been fairly decent. It's definitely won us some games, you know. I mean, going against USC, you know, that was a red zone touchdown, and, you know, minus the 1 yard or 1 foot that we couldn't get against Cal, our red zone play hasn't been terrible. You know, I think we can execute a little bit better, you know, maybe get a little bit more creative down there. But it hasn't been, I guess more comparing it to the last couple of years, it hasn't been bad. It's been much better than the last couple of years, but obviously there's lots of room for improvement.
Yeah, I mean, I agree they could get a lot more creative with the plays that they do run. And, you know, I think if you look back to the Cal game, man, there was so many missed opportunities there. That you know, play action pass to Moyai, that should have been a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He was wide open. And then, you know, if Moss would have followed Asiata, mm-hmm. that was a for sure touchdown. But, you know, they struggled a little bit. I think last season, you know, Troy Williams isn't as big as Travis Wilson. So, you know, you can't, I don't know if, you know, Travis Wilson, you could line him up under center or keep him in the shotgun and he could power his way through the line.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that with Troy Williams is because he's not, doesn't have the size to do that. But, you know, they just, you know, they do need to be more creative. They need to work on, you know, getting those when they are in the red zone, they definitely need to work on getting touchdowns.
Yep.
And they got to limit their turnovers in the red zone as well, because those, you know, if you're going to go for it on fourth down, you know, you got to make sure you don't turn it over, mm-hmm. because, you know, you could have just kicked a field goal and at least gotten 3 out of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. So, I mean, besides Troy Williams' fumble, I mean, 4 of 13, 42 yards, nothing to write home about, that's for sure.
No interceptions again.
No interceptions, though. That's what I was going to get to is he's been making some really good decisions since the first 3 weeks of the year. You know, he's really kicked it into gear. He's making really good decisions. He's calm in the pocket. He's you know, making the right plays, you know, for the most part. I mean, securing the ball, you know, is a different thing, but, you know, decision-wise, at least. So, I mean, I'm still very impressed with Troy. I'm excited to see him this weekend against UCLA in a much better climate, better weather, and, you know, hopefully we can see back the 250-plus yards.
Yeah, and I mean, that 42 yards he had, a lot about that was just due to the weather.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted to keep it on the ground.
Yeah.
They wanted to grind it out, keep it on the ground, protect the ball. But, you know, 42 yards is totally unlike Troy Williams, when you're used to seeing him upwards in the 200s, 250s. So I expect him to come out against UCLA and have a much better game passing-wise, and, mm-hmm. and the weather will definitely play a big part in that. But one play I would love to see the Utes do away with is that swing pass. I mean, that hasn't worked since they beat Stanford back a few years ago, and they're through the swing pass to Bubba Poole every other yeah. play, and Stanford just couldn't figure out how to stop it. But that's one play. It seems like such a dangerous play, and it never gets any yards or goes anywhere. So that's one play I'd like to see him do away with.
Yeah. Well, Butler Bird got lit up on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely leveled. And then the other one, didn't they rule it a fumble because backwards pass, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it's a very fine line with that play, if you will. You know, like looking at the team stats here, so Utah had 17 first downs, Oregon State 15. Total yards, Utah had 317, Oregon State 297. Utah 42 passing, Oregon State 100. Utah 275 rushing yards, Oregon State 197. So, I mean, time of possession, we were about a minute and 10 seconds less than Oregon State. 29 minutes to 30-ish minutes. So, you know, really very similar numbers for the most part. You know, they had more passing. We had, you know, almost 100 more rushing, which is obviously the game plan going into a game that's, you know, that type of weather.
Yeah, and on their passing yards, I mean, they only had like 24, 25 passing yards, and then their third string came in and threw a couple long plays, and that's how they got to 100. But, passing-wise, not a good game, but rushing-wise, they did have a good game. You know, Devontae Henry Cole, the freshman, he got one carry, burned his red shirt. I'd love to see him used a lot more since they did burn his red shirt. I hate to see that get wasted, so hopefully they'll be able to utilize him on, you know, running and the rushing attack, as well as, you know, maybe he can get back there on kick return or something like that, because he's definitely a talented guy.
Do you think maybe they bring him in to that Troy McCormick role if McCormick can't come back?
Yeah, I could definitely see that, just depending on, you know, what they want to do with Butler Bird.
Yeah.
But they definitely, since they burned his red shirt, they definitely need to get some.
Yeah, he's got to get experience now. At that point, if you're only going to give him one carry for one game throughout the year and you burn his red shirt, you should have just brought in Tyler Huntley or something to run a QB sneak or a draw, you know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think we'll see a lot more of run DHC for sure. So, well, do you have anything else for us on Oregon State? Anything to hash out?
No, I mean, it was a ugly game and a ugly win, but a win's a win, and, you know, the Utes continue to 6-1, bowl eligible 6-1. So a win's a win, no matter how ugly it is. It just, you know, the weather was the big factor, and but the Utes still were able to come out with a victory, and all these injuries and the weather and everything else that against them, they still continue to put W's on the board.
Absolutely. Well, let's let's get into our Ute Q's.
Now time for Ute Q's, where we take your questions from Twitter and email and we answer them weekly. Tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast or email utetalk@gmail.com.
Alrighty, so for those of you who do not know what our Ute Q's segment is, we will ask questions on Twitter from our Twitter handle, Ute Talk Podcast. And we will post some questions out there. Use the hashtag UteQs. So that is hashtag UTEQS. And so we will post questions. We appreciate your responses and your answers to those questions. If you have any questions that you want specifically answered, go ahead and ask away and use that hashtag. But let's get into it. So this week we asked three questions. The first one, excuse me, got a little bit of cold today. So with a tough stretch ahead, what will it take for the Utes to win out? You've got S-Gloss 8. That's a tall order. Tim Patrick needs to return and get 100-plus yards receiving, and defense needs to stop allowing big plays. J. Hilato? Hope we don't end up like last year where we just take a total dump down the stretch. Beach Dan 1732 responds to that with we won't. Rick Caps 3, single-minded focus and all 11 on the field working together. Capitalize on mistakes by UCLA. And then Jay Hilto responds again. The list is very, very long. Both O and D need to make major improvements. So what are your responses, Patrick, to our listeners there? I think a lot of them make a lot of good points. You know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, a lot of good points. Man, for the Utes to win out, they got to get healthy. That's the number one priority. They got to get healthy. They got to get guys back.
Rid of whatever voodoo is going on. Exactly. Up there. This is getting out of control.
They got to get, person they got to get back is Tim Patrick. He's got to get healthy and get back there just because he's such a good wide receiver, and they've definitely missed him since he's been out. They got to get the, you know, running backs healthy where they're, you know, back to being stacked there like they were at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, all the injuries that they do have, all the dings and dents, they got to get everybody healthy. They definitely need a bye week.
Yeah.
To do that. I know they don't have one for a couple weeks, but, you know, getting healthy is number one. And then obviously, you know, on offense, they got to just keep doing what they're doing, you know, being balanced and fix their red zone issues. And then on defense, you know, they got to find ways to make plays at the linebacker position. Because they've been struggling a little bit the past few weeks. And then also at the defensive back position, they've been, you know, giving up some big plays. They got to get that fixed.
Yep.
And then they got to start getting to the quarterback a lot more.
Yeah,
they've been struggling sack-wise. I mean, sometimes they get there and for some reason they just can't slow down and make the tackle or the quarterbacks are slipping through the cracks. I mean, even Daryl Gerritsen was slipping through and getting big chunk yards. So they definitely got to make some improvements on both sides of the ball. But, you know, the number one thing is getting healthy.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. For me, I mean, like you said, healthy. Offensively, you know, I think for the most part we've figured out the turnover issues. You know, Williams making better decisions. Now it's just executing better in the red zone. You know, or being a little bit more creative in the red zone to mix up the, let's just do a draw play right of the middle, draw the gut, you know, let's mix it up there. We've got some tall receivers, some big guys, you know, get Guy Holiday to teach him how to, box out and get the jump ball that Troy can throw to the corner. You kind of nailed it on the head on defense. You know, we really need to get to the quarterback better, and maybe that's a combination of losing Fitz and a young linebacking core, but we've got to do something. I mean, the quarterbacks are slipping through our hands. You know, we've got them down for big loss of yardage, and you know, we just can't finish the tackle. And then obviously the big plays, you know, our cornerbacks, they're not, some of them aren't turning around to swat the ball, you know, Brian Allen has done a good job the last couple of weeks and getting a, you know, an interception, which is awesome to see him have success. But I feel like Porter and Hatfield just, yeah, they're locking down for the most part, but those big plays, they're just, they're nowhere to be found, or they got beat for, you know, some stupid reason. You know, so we need to clean that up.
Yeah, and maybe one more thing on that is, I think the coaches need to drop some under center plays, you know, instead of these always being in the shotgun.
Yeah.
You know, have Williams get underneath the center and, you know, on those red zone plays or the fourth and ones and stuff. Cause
yeah, absolutely. You know, mix it up
a little bit.
Absolutely. So next question, what is your win loss projection for the rest of the games, or the rest of the season ahead? We didn't have any responses back to that one, but I'm happy to answer it myself. If we go off of my strict projections that Patrick and I did at the beginning of the year, I have us losing against UCLA and then winning, you know, the rest of the way. So Washington, Arizona State, Oregon, and Colorado. Patrick has UCLA and Washington as losses, with Arizona State, Oregon, and Colorado's wins. So if you're going strictly off of what we're seeing now, or what we projected, and compared to right now, my projection would be a win at UCLA, probably a loss at home against Washington. I mean, they are just playing too darn good, and they are firing on all cylinders. They have had a few games that have been close that have been kind of odd, but big teams like Stanford that you would think would beat them, they've absolutely demolished. And so a win against UCLA, loss home against Washington, and then win against Arizona State, a win against Oregon. And I'm going to go with a win against Colorado, but they're playing really, really well right now. That game is actually going to mean something this year. My record would be a 4-1, the rest of the way with a loss against Washington.
Yeah, I got to stick to my guns. At the beginning of this season, I picked, UCLA and Washington to beat the Utes. I'm going to stick to my guns as bad as it hurts. And the homer in me wants to definitely pick the Utes to beat UCLA, but I'm going to stick to my prediction.
Fair enough.
I think they lose to UCLA. I think they lose to Washington, and then think they win out the rest. But yeah, you're exactly right. That Colorado game will be definitely have a better feel to it this year, and hopefully turn into somewhat of a rivalry.
Yeah, that'll be nice. The Rocky Mountain Rumble. So our final UQ was, give us your prediction for the UCLA game and your MVP. Rick caps 3, going to be a tough game as we know. Utes win 24-21 with a field goal in the end. It very well could come down to that, you know. and we've had some close games lately. Luckily, we've been able to beat them out by a touchdown, so we haven't had to resort to a last-second field goal, and hopefully we don't have to. But it's gonna be a tough one. You know, Josh Rosen is a little bit banged up. They're, you know, UCLA's quarterback. Utah is banged up, you know, running back and wide receiver wise. So, you know, I think both teams have some ups and downs, and the injury bug has kind of hit both a little bit. I would say I'm going to go 27-21 Utah, you know, and could be a defensive stop against UCLA, you know, going for a touchdown there in the final play. So I'm going to go game ball as the defense.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, both teams are kind of struggling injury-wise right now, but I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be another close game, but I got to stick with my guns. I'm going to take UCLA 21, Ute 17, and another heartbreaker, just like last season. The Utes are going to get in the red zone, can't punch it in. It's going to be tough. Game ball to, I don't know, whoever on UCLA.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me redo mine then, because I totally messed that up. 27-21 UCLA with Utah trying for a last-second touchdown. I totally blew that one because that would fall in line with my loss against UCLA.
Yeah,
that I had predicted. I think we win it though, so we'll see. Or the homer in me thinks we win it. So moving right along, that was our UQ segment. So thank you for listening to that and participating. If you have questions, tweet us at Ute Talk Podcast or email utetalk@gmail.com and use hashtag UteQs. So let's get into our preview of UCLA. UCLA is currently sitting at 3-4 overall, 1-3 in conference. So, I mean, really, for the most part, they're all but out of the South race.
Yeah, I think they're like fifth right now, or fifth in the South.
Yeah. So, excuse me. They the game is Saturday, the 22nd at the Rose Bowl, 2 p.m. Mountain. It's on Fox. Looking at the weather currently for that game right now. So obviously we're a couple days out, but you're looking at, you know, a high of 87, a low of 62, mainly sunny all day, 10 mile per hour winds. So really it should be a pretty darn good game compared to what we just played up in Oregon.
Yes. And you know, UCLA is one of those teams who were picked to, you know, be on top of the South or even win the South before the season started. And they've had some injuries. They've struggled a little bit throughout this season. But I think, you know, if they can get Josh Rosen healthy, I mean, that offense goes as he goes.
Yeah.
He's definitely the leader and the, you know, the captain of that offense leading the ship. So if he can get healthy, I think they'll, you know, down the stretch, they'll definitely improve. Not sure if he'll play this week. Haven't heard, but, you know, their backup, he's okay. He has a pretty good arm, decent backup. But I think if Rosen plays and he's somewhat mobile and somewhat healthy, he'll definitely, you know, look to hurt the Utes through the air.
Yeah, absolutely. So UCLA, they lost against Texas A&M. They won UNLV. They won BYU. They lost against Stanford. They beat Arizona. They lost against Arizona State. And they lost against last weekend Washington State. So, you know, they've played some good teams. You know, they've, you know, beaten some okay teams. Arizona State loss was kind of a shocker. Washington State, you know, you're not used to them being good. Stanford, you kind of come to expect, just because Stanford's such a tough opponent. But Stanford is nowhere to be seen right now. when they played, they were seventh in the nation.
Yeah, they're struggling.
They are struggling mightily. So UCLA is currently sitting fifth in the South Division. Like I said, 3-4 overall, 1-3 in conference. You've got Utah 3-1, Colorado 3-1. USC is coming on strong at 3-2. Arizona State 2-2, and Arizona, excuse me, at 0-4. So, looking at their their depth chart here, I mean, they don't have a whole lot of known guys, I would say, that are kind of stone-cold killers, but they have a lot of talent, and kind of harnessing that talent is the challenge. You know, we touched on Josh Rosen, sophomore quarterback, played, you know, he's played really well for the most part this year. You know, definitely as he has gone, the team has gone. Last year he came in and shocked everybody as a freshman and really played well. So he hasn't quite gotten back to that form yet. But, we'll see what happens on Saturday if he or the backup plays.
Yeah, I mean, he's so far, he has about 1,900 yards on the season and 10 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He's also thrown 5 interceptions. So not having, you know, not having a great season, but not having too bad of a season either. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see if he plays. And, you know, UCLA, you're used to UCLA having that running back who's mm-hmm. who's well known. I mean, I think last year they had Perkins or
yep.
whatnot, and he was a decent running back. But you're always used to UCLA having a running back that's a household name, and they don't have that this season. They kind of have like a three-headed monster back there, kind of like the Utes had earlier in the season. So just kind of three guys who, you know, they rely on to get that job done this mm-hmm. season.
Absolutely. Very similar teams offensively and defensively right now. Points per game, Utah is sitting at 26.7, UCLA at 26. Points allowed per game, Utah at 18, UCLA at 23. Yardage, 417.9 total yards for Utah, 409.7 for UCLA. So an eight yard difference there. And then yards allowed, 342 for Utah, 344.4 for UCLA. So a 2.4 yard allowed differential there. So really right now, both teams playing very similarly, you know, whether that's the injury bug, you know, for Utah, you know, no known commodity for UCLA outside of Josh Rosen. You know, very similar styles there. UCLA obviously passes a whole heck of a lot more. Their passing on the year is average about 318 yards. Rushing is only 91. Utah being a little more balanced, 224 passing, 193 rushing. So,
yeah, and they have about four wide receivers who they have spread the ball around pretty mm-hmm. evenly too. I think their top guy has a little over 400 yards, and then the next guy a little over 300, and then the other two guys are about 250. So, you know, they spread the ball around to those receivers, and a lot of that depends on if Rosen plays. Yeah. I haven't really seen the backup play. Mm-hmm. I saw him a little bit against Washington State, but not enough to make any, you know, assumptions on if, you know, he's going to be
sure
able to move the ball against the Utes. But definitely, yeah, they're definitely two teams who are pretty evenly matched right now, and the injury bug doesn't help either.
Yeah. So far, the backup, Mike Fafaul, I believe. He was one completion, one attempt for 13 yards against UNLV. He went 3 of 11 for 44 yards against Arizona State, and then 24 of 40, 258 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions against Washington State. So, you know, definitely, you know, they're obviously not afraid to sling it with him, where it seems like whenever you bring in, you know, a backup, you know, the playbook is instantly cut in half at least. But I mean, for him to come out and throw 40 passes as if he, you know, is the starter, you know, that's interesting to see. Obviously they're fine with him slinging it around. 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. So some decision-making maybe there. I didn't see him play at all against Washington State. So I don't know if, you know, it's more decision-making or the receiver's fault or what. But I think there's a lot of potential for Utah there if he is the starter.
Yeah, and that shows, you know, maybe their run game's not quite as strong mm-hmm. this season. So if the Utes can bottle up those running backs and, you know, whoever plays at quarterback, make them beat them through the air, you know, who knows what could happen if the Utes are on – Utes defensive backs are on top of their game, they could definitely – Make it a long night for him or even for Josh Rosen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's see here. I don't have any, I don't know the spread yet on the game. Let me look real quick, see if I can find it. There is one.
And just one thing about the game, the Utes are 1-6 against UCLA at UCLA.
In Pasadena? They're
1 win coming back in 2014 when they, you know, sacked Brent Huntley 55 times. Made it a long night for him.
That's right.
But, you know, so, you know, definitely something to think about as well, you know, if they can get over the hump on the road against UCLA, it'll be interesting to see as well.
Yeah. So no spread on the game as of yet, at least that I can find. I look in a couple different places. Again, that game is, there it is, even. So they're even. Utah currently sitting 6-1, 19 in the nation. UCLA 3-4, not ranked. It's at the Rose Bowl. It's on Fox, October 22nd at 2 p.m. So for those of you making the trip down, be loud, be proud, cheer your hearts out, and let the boys in red know that you're there. I hope that I can watch the game. I want to go down there if I can swing it, but we shall see. Do you have anything else for us, Patrick, as far as our preview into UCLA?
No, I just hope the Utes are, you know, last season, you know, the offense didn't perform very well. They didn't score a touchdown. I think Andy Phillips had like 3 field goals and that mm-hmm. was it. Joe Williams played well last season. He had 121 yards, so hopefully he can continue to have another good game against UCLA this upcoming week. But hopefully, you know, if the offense can get in the end zone and make some stops, they could definitely pull out a victory. You know, even though I had to stick to my guns, I still want the Utes to win, and I'm hoping they win, but I got to stick with my prediction.
Apparently, I'm a flip-flopper, so... I can't make my mind up. The homer in me keeps, you know, telling me that Utah's going to win. And, you know, I mean, it's highly possible. We are starting to close that talent gap within the Pac-12. So,
yeah,
we'll see what we can do against UCLA. And I hope we do well, a lot better than last year, because that was a downer for sure.
Yeah, it was definitely a heartbreaker last year. And a lot was on the line in that game, just like a lot's on the line in this game. So, hoping the Utes win. Yeah. So,
this is a huge one to get. If we can get this one, we've already beat USC, and they're coming on hot. You know, I mean, this is a good one to get. You know, especially because it's in the South Division. So, well, thank you everybody for tuning in today for Ute Talk. From our audio engineer, Marty, Patrick, and myself, Andy, we will see you next time. And as always, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk. Brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalk Podcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.